Hi, this is Shannon Storms-Bedore, Real Housewife of Orange County and entrepreneur. When my company, Real for Real, started selling our health products online, we really struggled to find a way to ship our orders out quickly and without error until we started using ShipStation. ShipStation's simple dashboard makes it easy to automate shipping tasks and effortlessly manage your orders from every marketplace, including Amazon, Etsy, Shopify, and more. Print shipping labels, easily compare rates and delivery times, and take advantage of discounts up to 84% off USPS and UPS rates. And with enterprise solutions that make warehouse optimization easy, ShipStation scales when your business does. No wonder 98% of companies that stick with ShipStation for a year become customers for life. Spend more time growing your business and start automating shipping tasks with ShipStation. Go to ShipStation.com/audio today and sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com/audio.
Halfway through, it's the midway point here on After Hours with Amy Lawrence, and we still have plenty to sprinkle in that gets off the beaten path. Speaking of the path, a 100-meter path with an amazing finish for an American sprinter. Also, Christian Pulisic, his debut for AC Milan was amazing. Amazing. Watching him play across the pond, it makes me excited for the prospects of the team that we hope can advance even farther in the next World Cup. Wearing the red, white, and blue, but also being on American soil. So USA, Mexico, Canada, banding together. It's a North American World Cup. I'm determined to go. I've seen World Cup qualifiers. I've never seen an actual World Cup game. Determined to go. And if Christian can continue to elevate his game, and we know the coaching situation is settled, though I suspect there could still be a little more of a reintegration period, just with the turmoil that was around the team and him being suspended of sorts and his contract not being renewed and then brought back. The team has some good young pieces and did make the knockout stage of this most recent World Cup. If guys can continue to get better and they can be healthy and have all of their dynamic parts, if you will, then there's real potential there, especially with home crowds. Not that American fans don't travel to World Cups. They generally do. We usually have a pretty loud presence, even on the other side of the globe, but to have it in North America, awesome. So a little bit with Christian. And then I'm not sure if you guys have heard the debate around the Ryder Cup and whether or not live golfers should be included, whether or not they should be invited. In some cases, there's been a debate about should the points for golfers who are not on the PGA Tour anymore, not part of the PGA anymore, should those points count? And then should live golfers be eligible for these automatic bids to the Ryder Cup team?
Hit live.
You ask Rory McIlroy, and it's an emphatic no.
Because I hit live.
I hate live. But with Brooks Koepka, who is part of the LIV Golf League, going back now for over a year, he's had such an incredible group of majors, tied for second at the Masters, won the PGA, and then he was fifth in Ryder Cup points entering last week. But because of some of the guys that he's competing with and how they finished at the BMW Championship, he lost out on the automatic qualifier. But we're talking a handful of points here. So 29 points separating Brooks Koepka from Xander Schauffele. And the number six spot is what they're vying for. And it comes down to Zach Johnson, who's the Ryder Cup captain, and the captain's picks that he has to make next week. So they have the Tour Championship in Atlanta this week. And then after that, Zach Johnson will look at the body of work and decide who should be the captain's picks. Again, he was top five after the Masters and the PGA, but then he was only 17th only, using my air quotations, 17th at the U.S. Open, and he finished way back in the British Open, the Open Championship. And because LIV golfers don't receive points for their finishes in tournaments that are not PGA sanctioned, and again, that's been a big debate, he's only accruing points based on the majors. But because of the last two finishes, or really, it's the Open Championship that hurt him, because of that 64th place finish, he's in a dead heat, essentially, for that number six spot. Though Zach Johnson can use one of his captain's choices, his captain's picks, on Brooks Koepka. A lot of people want to hear what Zach Johnson has to say. A lot of people want to know if he will include Brooks. Would it be unpopular? I don't think so. I think these guys want to win. I don't think it matters who the golfers are and where they come from. Now, maybe Phil Mickelson's still a bit abrasive and rubbing fellow PGA golfers the wrong way.
Let it go, dude. Let it go.
But when it comes to Brooks, he's relatively vanilla, right? I mean, he gets salty every now and then, but mostly it's at Bryson DeChambeau. And then also he gets kind of salty at media, cameramen or women. He doesn't make waves with other golfers. Even going back to the Bryson situation, I swear some of that was contrived. And Bryson really stoked the flames. But Brooks is, he's not controversial. And he never really has made it a pedestal or a soapbox, if you will, the reasons why he left the PGA to go to LIV. He just wants to golf. And remember, he had what was a near career-ending wrist injury that he had to come back from, which is why the first half of this year, the Masters and the PGA were so validating for him, because he thought his career was over, and he talked about that. So here's Zach Johnson with a lot of pressure, and he's very complimentary of Brooks Koepka, of course. Why would you not be?
The speed and the rhythm in which he plays is extremely attractive, and I would almost argue calculated.
It brings the best out of him. It's like he just thinks this is another tournament, right, and everyone else is like, this is the biggest deal.
I mean, he's
in the
won
world.
Five majors. How many times? He had a couple of opportunities where he could have won
close.
More.
I mean,
that's
close.
My point. Yeah.
Almost picked off the Masters again.
How many PGA Tour events has he won? I have no idea.
He's won more majors than
he's won four PGA Tour events and five majors.
Yeah. Good
and
ratio.
And now he doesn't play in the PGA Tour.
Yeah.
Zach Johnson is part of the golf.com podcast. But the real question is about the LIV golfers. There's no question that Brooks Koepka is poised, is mentally tough and focused, can stare down the best of the best, and can perform under pressure. There's no question about that. As Zach and company point out and highlight there on the podcast, he's got five major wins, three of them coming at the PGA Championship. This guy, I want to say he's impervious to pressure, but when he's healthy, he's one of the best in the world. So then what about the LIV golfers? How much has Zach been in contact with Brooks Koepka or been considering Brooks Koepka? And this is where the answers get a little vague. Though you do get this, I think it's an interesting revelation from Zach about what could hamper him selecting a LIV golfer or two or three for the Ryder Cup team.
I mean, I've only get to see him essentially, you know, on the in the major championship scene. There hasn't been much communication on, I mean, if I'm going to be fully transparent. But it's hard because, I mean, I'm not able to witness what they're doing and see their form with the exception of, sorry, essentially 3 or 4 weeks a year. You said it. What Brooks has done this year is, well, I mean, no one's surprised, but is remarkable. I think he played okay last year in a couple of the majors, which actually counted in points, too. So I'm just glad he's healthy. You know, there was a time where he was really concerned about his tenure and time in golf. So he's a stud. He's when it comes to, you guys can get in the numbers. I really don't know them all. But when it comes to the highest gravity situations in the game of golf, mm-hmm. he seems to be at his best. Both from a posture standpoint and an execution standpoint. And that is a rare, rare breed.
High praise there from Zach Johnson, who, again, is the captain of the U.S. Ryder Cup team. And the tournament's taking place just outside Rome, which is kind of fun. That would be a great event to attend in person. The Ryder Cup in Italy? Yes, sign me up.
Can we get credentials?
That should be on the bucket list. So, yeah, you've already got half the team. Scottie Scheffler, who's the top golfer in the world. And then remember Wyndham Clark? Relatively anonymous. A near unknown outside of the golf world, but he won the U.S. Open. And so he qualified for the Ryder Cup team on points. Talk about a dream come true. His first major win. And he ends up on the Ryder Cup team. Awesome story. Just awesome. Talk about the stuff that dreams are made of. Then you had the Open Championship winner, who was Brian Harman. Again, another guy that not a lot of casual fans are familiar with. Patrick Cantlay, Max Homa, and then Xander Schauffele. He got that automatic qualifier where Brooks Koepka did not. So Brooks ended up just on the outside looking in. But Xander certainly has been a staple on the PGA Tour and obviously one of the best in the U.S.
I would hope that I would get picked. I think I've proven enough in those uh-huh. events, in the team rooms and with my golf that I can play in these team events and help a team win. So you never know, though. So, I mean, like I said, it's nice to automatically qualify.
Yeah, just a handful of points, though, put him on the team and left Brooks Koepka on the outside looking in. I just don't see any legit argument for leaving Brooks off. What, because he plays on the LIV Tour? It's even more impressive that he was so close to qualifying automatically when he doesn't participate in PGA Tour events. Remember, he's been blocked, essentially suspended from the PGA Tour. Now, this is going back to last year before this whole merger was announced, but we still don't know much about it. You know, we always say in pro sports, it's about the money. Well, and in college sports too now, a lot of the times, it's always about the money. Well, that's the case with this merger that we know nothing about. But the fact that Brooks Koepka is just barely missing on an automatic bid, to me, is all of the evidence that you need to prove that you have a much better chance to win the Ryder Cup if Brooks is on the team. These other guys have played in countless events. Now, granted, the majors, they accrue more points, and you accrue more points for winning them. They're weighted, so to speak. But come on. Brooks has played in a handful of tournaments and has managed somehow to accrue nearly enough points. He deserves to be in just based on the fact that his road is so much harder than any other. There are no other LIV golfers that are even close to qualifying automatically. And right now, doesn't appear as though there are any other LIV golfers who are under consideration for captain's picks either. Yeah, Brooks has done it the hard way. Now, it's by choice. And I don't mean hard way as in poor Brooks. Let's feel sorry for him. No, I mean the hard way as in he chose a different path, knew that it would be near impossible for most golfers to still qualify for the Ryder Cup or even be in contention for the Ryder Cup team with only participation in the majors, and yet he has done it. Again, your team is better with Brooks Koepka on it. Other names out there, Ricky Fowler, Keegan Bradley, Justin Thomas. Boy, he's
the one I keep seeing coming up the most. Because people are saying,
except he's got the yips right now.
He's been terrible.
Right.
I mean, let's be frank. Like, Brooks Koepka has been 1,000 times better than Justin Thomas has. Mm-hmm. But I keep seeing Thomas's name come up because of chemistry reasons. Oh, he's fit in with the team. He's
oh,
been
yeah, because he and Jordan are BFFs.
He's not playing good
and
golf.
And Ricky, they're BFFs. Yeah. That's interesting. Will Zach Thompson... I'm sorry, Zach Johnson. Will Zach Johnson break up the click?
That's
yeah, what it is.
Right.
It's a USA golf click. Those guys travel together. They party together.
And Brooks,
they share planes.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. Brooks is on his own thing. And his wife just had their first child. And he's playing in different tournaments. But also, I'm not sure Brooks was ever part of the cool crowd anyway. I don't recall that he ever hung out with that group. But yeah, it's a bit of a click. And they've played on Ryder Cups in the past. Jordan Spieth is having a resurgent year. I know he's playing really well. Ricky Fowler, obviously, has been top of mind. And we've also seen him play some incredible golf. But Justin Thomas is miserable right now on the golf course. He's miserable.
Absolutely.
So chemistry. It's being called chemistry.
Yeah. Do you like, want your buddies playing or do you want the best golfers out there?
It's like the NBA where everyone plays with his BFF.
Essentially.
I don't care what kind of chemistry you have. If your golf game is in a sucky place, you shouldn't be on the team. And it's not like it's a 1 week or 2 week sample size with Justin. This has been a really rough year for him. Huh. I go Brooks Koepka. I vote Brooks. Not that anyone's asking me. All right, on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. Coming up, Bill Belichick with an update on the rookie cornerback Isaiah Bolden, who had to stay in the hospital overnight after the preseason game on Saturday in the Green Bay area. And Coach Belichick was a guest on our Boston affiliate, WEEI. Taylor Swift is part of the conversation. Good stuff. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. On our Facebook page, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. In light of our conversation with Lindsay Rhodes and also the Jonathan Taylor news, we're asking you, which running backs would you draft in the top five in your fantasy draft? And even expanding beyond that, which athletes would you take if you had a pick in the top five? Where are you looking? I told Lindsay Tyreek Hill. He has been so good for my fantasy team the last few years. She's going Justin Jefferson number one. What say you? Again, on Twitter or Facebook. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
I really appreciate what Coach Belichick did tonight. You know, he took the initiative on that. And look, this is not the AFC Championship. We're not playing for records. This is preseason game too. Right? And we have an injury like that. You know, it affects a lot of guys. That was tremendous leadership by him. And I have to say, honestly, that was one of the proudest moments I've had as a guy who's played for him for now 16 years.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Matthew Slater, longtime Patriots special teams captain, in the wake of the decision by Bill Belichick and Matt LaFleur, along with the NFL, to cancel the rest of their preseason game in Green Bay on Saturday night after rookie cornerback Isaiah Bolden was injured. He was prone and he was unconscious there on the field. And had to be taken to the hospital, spent the night in the hospital, but then flew home with the team on Sunday. And Belichick was praised roundly, not just by Matthew Slater, but by others And I think in the wake of the Damar Hamlin scare, when we watched the two teams stand there and wait for someone to make a decision, where Zach Taylor and Sean McDermott got together and said, we can't ask our guys to continue playing. And that was a regular season game late in the schedule where there was plenty on the line. In this case, it's a preseason game. They had joint practices. They didn't need to continue with the game, and guys were clearly shaken up, as Matthew points out. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. The Greg Hill Show is the morning show on our Boston affiliate, WEEI, and Bill Belichick makes a weekly appearance. He praises the medical teams involved in taking care of his rookie cornerback.
It was really impressive just watching you know, the situation, the doctors, you know, so Dr. Martin, Dr. Corrado's an emergency doctor, Jim Whalen, and those guys were right on top of it. And, you know, I walked out there to see, and, you know, I mean, I don't know anything, but just watching them and the way they handled it all was, I think, you know, fantastic. And so I talked to Isaiah yesterday, and he's, you know, in good spirits, you know, recovering, obviously, but... So let's take it day to day. Just take it day to day. But certainly seems a lot better today than it looked like, you know, Saturday night. So that's a good thing.
It is good to hear from Bill Belichick about Isaiah Bolden. And Isaiah himself had posted on social media on Sunday, I believe it was, just to thank people for their prayers and their concern, and also to indicate he couldn't wait to get back out with the team. Now, let's talk about Taylor Swift. It's a segue, I know, and it's an abrupt one at that, but Bill Belichick apparently loves Taylor Swift and was really impressed by her mental fortitude, her toughness, because she continued with her concert at Gillette Stadium in the rain. Remember, it was a crazy rainstorm. There were a lot of people that were tweeting and sharing photos and videos. Well, she caught the attention and the admiration of Belichick.
Saw a little bit of Taylor.
That's my guy.
We were wondering about that.
Yeah. Yeah, that was about it.
Did you enjoy it?
Did you get rained out? Were you at that show?
That was pretty impressive.
Yeah. Killed it.
She's tough, man. She just stood out there and played right through it. And then they gave, what's his name, a hard time.
Luke.
Because they pulled the plug on him. That was lightning. I understand that. When there's lightning in the area, we head off the field too, so I can't really. I think he could blast through a rainstorm. He's a pretty tough guy.
So Bill Belichick doesn't either confirm or deny, but it sounds like he was there at the show, or maybe not. Maybe he just heard about it. Tom Brady was at the show. He's been to see Taylor Swift. It's fun stuff. Bill Belichick is a big fan of music. Remember, he's tight with Jon Bon Jovi, but he's a huge fan of music. He goes to concerts. Every now and then there are videos that reveal he's got a whole other side to him that revels in entertainment. Oh, you didn't know that?
I didn't know he was a big music guy. No.
He is a big music guy. Big, just look it up. There's all kinds of stuff out there about Belichick and his music. That's apparently his escape from football. He ever actually require an escape from football. So then Bill Belichick, Swifty or nah?
Officially? I don't know about that, but I don't know what officially
seems
is.
Seems like Aaron Rodgers is.
Yeah. What does that mean? Like you have a sweatshirt or something?
You're gonna have a few.
Yeah.
Well, you can
good
sing
merch.
I think you can sing some of the lyrics. You know, it's, I don't know. I mean, they were selling rainwater the for $70 a jar or something like that.
So. Yeah. Well, look, I'm definitely on the you got to calm down.
Okay, he's a Swiftie.
That's pretty good. Like pretty you got to calm down. That's
one of our best.
That's there's a lot of times when that's very appropriate.
Bill Belichick, along with Greg Hill and Jermaine Wiggins, Courtney Cox. That's our Boston affiliate, WEEI 93.7 FM. We have a lot of New England sports fans that listen there, and so Belichick makes a weekly appearance and doesn't always flash the personality, but every now and then. Apparently he is, in fact, a Swiftie, as he's quoting one of Taylor's songs. Wonder if he could sing along.
You are somebody that I don't know, but you're taking shots at me like it's Patron, and I'm just like, damn. It's 7 a.m.
Told you everything I know.
Say it in the street, that's a knockout. But you say it in a tweet, that's a cop out.
But I appreciate the question, like, I really do.
Are you okay? And I ain't trying to mess with your self-expression, but I've learned a lesson that stressing and obsessing about somebody else is no fun.
I really can't control that.
And snakes and stones never broke my bones, so. You need to calm down.
We don't have time for that. What do I look like?
I like it. Little Taylor Swift, Bill Belichick montage. Producer Jay, is that one of your all-time masterpieces?
I was just doing that on the fly. I don't know.
Even more impressive. Even more impressive. All right, coming up, QB news. Because, yes, Bill Belichick did, in fact, talk about Mac Jones. Probably reluctantly. What's happening in there? You trying to drown me out with some Taylor Swift?
I didn't realize it was still playing. My fault.
It was a masterpiece followed by a faux pas. Yep. Also, we want to know, who would you draft if you had a top five pick in your fantasy league? Would you go running back? Is there a running back you'd even consider in the top five? On Twitter, After Hours CBS, or my Twitter, A-Law Radio. If you'd like to share your favorite Taylor Swift lyrics, you can. I still say mine is one of the oldies, that it's my favorite. We are never, ever, ever getting back together. I love that Taylor song. And actually, her first one, which was Tim McGraw, was also a great song. It was back when she was a country breakout artist. On our Facebook page as well, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Murray back to throw. And it is. Is it tossed? Oh, my goodness, it's caught. DeAndre Hopkins caught it.
Back from under center. Steps back. Throws the fade.
Cooper Kupp's got it. Touchdown, LA.
Burrow back to throw. Looking, firing deep for Chase in the end zone. Oh, he's got it!
Yes!
Touchdown! Joe Burrow and the Bengals.
Mahomes fires for the end zone. Caught! Touchdown! Kansas City!
And off to Eckler again. No, Herbert keeps it. End zone touchdown! Chargers! Herbert with his second of the day.
Here's the snap. Josh going to keep it himself and run it again inside the five. Into the end zone. Touchdown, Buffalo. Josh Allen, 9-yard touchdown run. The Bills respond and then some.
It's time for QB News on After Hours.
And this portion of the show, our QB News, brought to you by our corporate partner, Wesley Financial. Are you stuck in a timeshare and want out? Contact Wesley Financial Group now and get a free timeshare exit information kit at wesleyfinancialgroup.com. All right, we teased you a little bit. Coming from the AFC North, it's a big deal, right? A lot of people look at that division as potentially the toughest in football. Well, it wouldn't be quite as tough if Joe Burrow wasn't ready to go at the beginning of the season. He's been trying to recover from that calf injury suffered way back in the early days of training camp. And he just went through his first throwing session yesterday in the wake of that calf injury. So, Zach Taylor, how long will your quarterback need to get ready to take the snaps in week one?
He needs one rep. but it's different. It's a different injury. I would imagine, I hate speaking for other people, but last year it's an unknown. How is contact going to feel? How is it going to feel when I torque? There's a lot of things with an internal injury that I can't speak to. I would imagine that that's a whole different mindset you have to have. Whereas this one's, in the calf, and he looks great. I mean, physically, just walking around, he looks probably as good as he's ever looked at this point. And so that's a positive, and we'll just go from there.
Now, does he glow in the dark like Aaron Rodgers, or is that specific to the Jets quarterback? Zach Taylor with high praise for his quarterback, Joe Burrow. He needs one rep to be ready.
Just one.
He does not glow in the dark. All right, let's stay in the AFC North. John Harbaugh's got a brand new offensive coordinator. Lamar Jackson's taking more ownership of the offense. In fact, he told us recently he's trying to draw up some plays and give them to the new OC. How's it going, John Harbaugh? What are you seeing?
Lamar is very determined, very motivated guy. He wants to be the best. I mean, that's what he wants to be, and he's working that way. He's in the weight room early. He's in the meeting room early. He's really working hard to master the offense, and it's a process. I mean, we're putting the new offense in, new terminology, and every day you see him making strides that way and doing really well. So I'm excited. I think he's throwing the ball really well. Timing looks really good. So, you know, we're just trying to, you know, take a step every day and try to get a little better.
Todd Monken is the new offensive coordinator. Think about it. He's also got an Odell Beckham Jr. who is part of the repertoire, if you will. Another tool in the toolbox. Lamar Jackson, he feels like he's got some new freedom here. He's got an opportunity to put his own stamp on the offense. He'd spent a lot of time with Greg Roman. He'd done a lot of good things. And partly because Lamar was injured to wrap up the last couple seasons. The Ravens, they backpedaled in the final month or so. In this case, they feel like full head of steam because of the changes and because Lamar now has that contract and it's not hanging over their heads anymore like a big purple shadow.
Been a billionaire and been a champion.
Also in the AFC North, maybe the Steelers are flying under the radar, but the offense was nothing to write home about last season. But Kenny Pickett got the reps, right? Kenny Pickett was able to be out there and play the majority of the games for Pittsburgh, and that gives him a head start on some of these other young quarterbacks. Deontay Johnson says he's on the starting block and he's ready to run.
First two preseason games, you seen we came out starting fast. Kenny moving the ball real well. He knows where he wants to go with the ball as well. And offensive line doing a great job of keeping them protected, keeping them upright back there. Najee doing a good job. Running backs doing a good job blocking and all that. And receivers as a unit, we look way better.
Well, Deontay Johnson with high praise for the offense, even in the preseason. And there are some people who are fingering the Steelers to be a bit of a dark horse, which is an odd role for one of the most iconic franchises in the NFL.
Can't say enough about our young cube.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. All right, I promised you Bill Belichick on the Greg Hill Show on WEEI. They were asking him if Mac Jones is where he needs to be as he goes into year three with the Pats.
Everybody's different. I've coached, you know, a couple thousand players. They're all different. No two are the same. So, and it's, again, you take it day by day, week by week, year by year, and try to continue to get better. That's true for all of us. I mean, I've been in the league a long time, and, you know, I take it day to day as well, and week to week, just try to, you know, see what is in front of me and how to address it, how to do the best I can with it. And I think that's, you know, what each player should do. And for the most part, they do. Mac's got a great routine. He works hard, trains hard, in here a lot, studies a lot of film, stays on top of things. So that quarterback room, Trace and Bailey and Mac, they all, it's a hardworking group. They put in a lot of time, a lot of effort. I respect that.
Day by day. I don't suppose they outright asked him whether or not it was a quarterback competition there in New England. Bill Belichick on WEEI, which is our Boston affiliate, 93.7 FM. Okay, in the AFC South, we haven't actually seen C.J. Stroud anointed as the starting QB for the Texans, but new head coach DeMeco Ryans is thrilled with the way that C.J. can target his receivers and deliver the ball on point. And he's seeing that even now in the preseason.
With the passes that C.J. made, you see the accuracy, right? What you saw in college, you saw C.J. just playing comfortable. And it was exciting to see him just playing loose, making the throws that we've all seen him make in practice. We've seen him make at Ohio State. So you saw him just being himself and being comfortable, and that's what he can do. Just have to continue to get more reps so he can continue to be even more comfortable when he's in those game-like situations. Nothing is more important than getting reps, right, real actual reps in games. And it was fun to see him just – the game slowed down a little bit, and to see him make the plays that we've all seen him make.
It would make zero sense for them to revert to Davis Mills. Why? We know what Davis Mills is and what he can and cannot do. might as well hand the reins to C.J. Stroud, because it's not as though the Texans are a contender right now unless something changes, and C.J. could be that change. All right, AFC West, Jimmy Garoppolo is the change, and he gets a chance to throw passes to Davante Adams this year.
Route running, he's top of the league, top of the world. The guy, he's one of one in that aspect. I haven't been around a guy who could separate and create that much space. That was weird for me at the beginning, not going to lie. He would create so much space that you're like, you know, as a quarterback, you're like, don't miss this throw. Like,
right.
Because he's so open. But, no, it's a great, benefit for me to have a guy like that. He talks the language, sees the defense the right way. And it's all those little things. We're still growing, me and him, just our one-on-one stuff. But, we're getting it there.
Yeah, third different quarterback in now three seasons for Davante Adams. He goes from Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay to his longtime best friend Derek Carr in Las Vegas for most of the season until Carr was banished from Vegas. He was leaving Las Vegas. And then to Jimmy G. So a lot of adjustment there, but he is one of the best receivers in the NFL, and you hear Jimmy G rave about him on SiriusXM NFL Radio. I won't lie. As much as I'm excited to see what Brock Purdy does this season, I'm rooting for Jimmy G, even though it also means rooting for Josh McDaniels, which I generally don't do. In the AFC West, there's a lot to prove with Russell Wilson. Now he's linked up with Sean Payton and the Broncos, so trying to put last season in perspective.
You go through a journey, and you go through, I want to play 20 plus years, so when you go through that, there's going to be some tough moments. There's going to be some highs, which means some lows, a lot more highs than lows. But I think knowing that to weather storms, knowing how to, take everything and understand that, gratitude and love for this game, it never changes, it never wavers on your best days or your toughest days. Knowing that the best days are ahead. And so I got great people around me, in terms of teammates, the coaching staff and Coach Payton and the rest of the staff has done a tremendous job of just teaching us every day. My love for the game is, never wavers.
All right. Russell Wilson wants to play 20 years, but if he doesn't figure out what he needs to do differently or what the offense can do differently in year 12, well, he might not make it to year 13.
Who does that?
There is that really fat contract. Okay, quickly in the NFC, Geno Smith. He is the man with the Seahawks now. They made the playoffs last year, and he has high hopes for Seattle in his second year as starter.
We got all the talent in the world. Pete and John did a great job at just giving us all the weapons at our disposal. And so what it comes down to is how much better can we get on a daily basis. The continuity, right? You got to talk about, being together with the same guys over and over. And then just going out and execute.
He sounds more confident, doesn't he? He sounds as though he knows he is QB1 with no challenges there in Seattle. And that can be heady. If you're constantly fighting for your job, or you're worried about making a mistake and looking over your shoulder and what happens next, or you're worried about getting injured, not that these guys can think about that, but you lose your job to injury. His has been a tumultuous journey in the NFL, and I'm so thrilled for him. Of course, Pete Carroll is the NFL's greatest cheerleader and most notable as well. Still runs the wind sprints every day in practice. So, yeah, if you need someone in your corner, Pete Carroll's the man if you need your confidence to have a boost. All right, wrapping up with Brian Daboll. Who in the world asked him this question? I have no idea. He's the reigning coach of the year. The Giants made the playoffs last season, and yet someone's asking him about all the attention that Aaron Rodgers and the Jets are getting in the New York Metro.
I got my team to worry about. So, again, he's a heck of a player, one of the best to ever do it. But all the other stuff, I'm not a storyteller or a writer, so I just try to focus on our football team getting better.
I mean, I would have been a lot snarkier. Is that a word, snarkier? I would have been a lot more irritated. I would have been a little more annoyed than Brian Daboll. He was not any of those things. So give him credit. He probably wanted to be like, get that microphone and that stupid question out of my face.
It's going to be hard to cancel me.
bums. It's After Hours bums. With Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Stop calling people names. All right, so looking at your draft day, your fantasy draft day answers on our Facebook page quickly. Is there a running back that you would take in the top five if you had a pick? And if not running back, then who? Ben says only running backs worth taking near the top are Christian McCaffrey and Austin Eckler. He says, I see Nick Chubb going higher this year in draft since Kareem Hunt is gone. The Cleveland depth isn't as good. Michael goes with CMC. David also said Christian McCaffrey in my top five, but then Justin Jefferson, Austin Eckler, Tyreek Hill, Bijan Robinson, the rookie running back out of Texas. Ryan goes Justin Jefferson. That's it. That's the list. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.